Good morning. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom. Brady to the Bucs. Are they now the team to beat in the NFC? That answer may surprise you. Plus, the Panthers say hello and goodbye to big-name QBs on the same day. Did they make the right choice? And where does Cam go from here? And Indy turns to old man Rivers to try to get over the top. Are the Colts a legit contender in the packed AFC, or was this a huge mistake? We've got all the answers on a busy morning as we get up with you, starting right now. And delighted that you are here for the ride. Greeny with you, and I've got everybody ready to go as we continue what has been an enormous week as the National Football League is being reshaped right before our eyes as we speak. And, of course, the biggest move of all by far, Tom Brady appears to be on his way to Tampa Bay. Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington reporting last night the Bucs are the expected landing spot for the six-time Super Bowl champ. As of yet, no signing date or official announcement has been set up, but the hysteria around Tampa has most definitely already begun. As of just 24 hours ago, their odds to win the entire league were 40-1. Now that Brady is coming to town, they've dropped nearly in half, 22-1. And I would add, no team has ever won the Lombardi Trophy in their own city. The Super Bowl this year will be hosted by Tampa Bay. And the aforementioned Shefty and Jeff Darlington are with us here with outstanding work, and it continues. Shefty, I will start with you. Why did Brady ultimately decide Tampa was the right place?
Well, Green, let's start with this fact. They're still finalizing the language in the contract. It's not yet done, but it's not expected to be an issue in getting done. And Tom Brady, at some point here, whenever they get the language final, whenever the new league year begins at 4 o'clock Eastern today, will announce at some point that he is going to Tampa to play for the Buccaneers. And I think the Buccaneers offer him many of the things that he was looking for. No team was going to offer everything. But during the course of this process, there were a lot of different options that could come up at different times. And it was all a question of where the wheel was going to stop in the end. And in the end, it stops on Tampa, which has a great head coach in Bruce Arians, who's worked with other quarterbacks like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer. And now Tom Brady gets to work with him on an offense that has lots of weapons. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, Ronald Jones. So he will fit right in there. And as you pointed out, Greeny, last year they had seven losses by less than one score. And in those games, Jameis Winston turned over the football 18 times. So if you take Tom Brady, put him on a team that was ready to win last year, that managed the ball and took better care of the ball, then that team last year would have won more regularly than it did. And I think Tom sees an opportunity in Tampa that some people, I think, early on did not recognize. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, Schefter, I mean, look, this was a situation where I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, midway through February, did something that a lot of teams didn't. They recognized that Tom Brady was serious about free agency. And one of the things that's especially interesting is the Bucs, at one point, were getting a little antsy. They weren't trying to pressure anything within internally when it came to going after another quarterback, but they did recognize if they felt like they weren't going to get Brady during the early stages of free agency, they needed to start crafting other plans. Instead, though, they remained stoic, they shot their shot, they waited for free agency to open, and they struck. They had done a self-analysis and realized that they were in a position to offer Tom Brady the things that he most coveted. And quite frankly, when it got done, they were in the best position to show Tom Brady that they were the spot for him.
And Jeff, let me just add to that. I think Tampa Bay had a geographic advantage that a lot of other teams didn't. The Raiders are out west. The Chargers are out west. And while Tom Brady easily could have flown back east to be with his family, it's easier to do it from the East Coast. So Tampa is sitting there on the East Coast, not a far flight away from New York. And so why not make that happen? And that was just another advantage for Tampa that almost fell into the Buccaneers' lap. And you remember this, Greeny, the Buccaneers were the runner-ups in trading for Brett Favre. They almost had him. There were people who thought Brett Favre was going to wind up there before he wound up with your New York Jets. In this particular case, the Bucs, not the runner-up, they get the quarterback that they wanted.
And so much more to talk about here, and we will as the morning goes on. But quickly for both of you, Shefty, what are the Patriots' plans now at quarterback? They need one for the first time in a generation.
Well, right now, Jared Stidham is quarterback one. Yeah. And the Patriots are not the type of team that reacts very quickly or panic. They take their time. They think these things through. Now, obviously, they just recognize that Tom Brady isn't going to be there. And it wasn't something that they didn't realize couldn't happen. But I would imagine what you'll see is they'll draft one as well. And then they've got two quarterbacks on two rookie contracts. And also, at some point in time, one of these veterans is not going to find a landing spot, whoever that may be. We know there are other quarterbacks that could be traded, like Andy Dalton, maybe Nick Foles in Jacksonville. You've got on the street Jameis Winston, Cam Newton's going to be out there. Who knows where the chips fall? But there's going to be some quarterback that's left without a home in late March, early April, that the Patriots will probably scoop up on a team-friendly deal, as they usually do during free agency. You draft another quarterback, and then you see which quarterback rises up.
All right, I'm going to leave it there for the moment, guys. Thank you both. Outstanding work. We will come back to you for sure, but I want to get Swaggoo and Marcus in here. Let's talk about what he's got in Tampa. By he, I mean Tom. First of all, great receivers. The Buccaneers had two receivers finish with more than 1,100 receiving yards last year, and those are Godwin and Evans. The last time Brady had a pair of receivers finish with 1,100 yards in the same season was all the way back in 2009. And after all these years with Bill Belichick, Brady now teams with Bruce Arians, who was a two-time coach of the year. He's coming off his first season with Tampa. He is known as a quarterback-friendly coach. And then there's the defense. The Bucs allowed 3.3 yards per rush last year. They had 47 sacks. That is a good D, and it's led by Shaq Barrett, who had this reaction to the news that Tom Brady is on his way to town.
I'm instantly thinking we're going to be a contender. We're going to be a playoff contender. And that's all I want to do is play winning football again and try to get a championship. So that's a step in the right direction. I always thought he was a winner. Like, I know why they dislike the Patriots, but not Tom Brady. I don't see the Tom Brady thing. I guess just because he was a part of it. But I was always a fan of winning. They doing something right up there. So I just want to win. So anything that he could bring down to help us win, that's what I want to do.
Well, and that's what one should expect. Take a look at the numbers. Last year, Jameis Winston, you were aware that it was all over the place. All those yards, all those touchdowns, all those picks. Our fantasy expert, Mike Clay, projects that Brady will throw for almost 4,500 yards, nearly 30 touchdowns, but cut down significantly on the turnovers. And so let's talk about that with our guys. Dan Orlovsky and the big Swaggoo Marcus Spears are here. And Dan, I will start with you. You were telling us yesterday you were all over this, that Tampa was the right place for Tom. Tell us what you expect from them and him now that it appears to be on its way to happening.
I mean, Greeny, Tampa vaults to the top of the NFC in the conversation with the Saints and the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams and the Eagles. I mean, this is going to be a competitive conference now, and the Buccaneers are right at the top of it because of Tom Brady going there. A couple things that we have to look at because of the fit with this, right? Everyone's going to Bruce Arians and saying, as the head coach, and then Byron Leftwich as a play caller, doesn't fit what Tom Brady does. And I would argue that. I would argue that Tom Brady, one, can still absolutely push the football downfield in the 15 to 20 yard throws. People think that Bruce Arians is going to turn this offense into like a June Jones chuck and duck situation where Tom Brady's just going to be sitting back there on seven step drops. Something that Bruce Arians has loved to do recently is the play action pass, hard ball play action pass. That's also something that Tom Brady has really become comfortable with and good at. So I don't expect the Bucs to just hang Brady out to dry, five step or five man protection, seven step drop. So if you just look at this football team scheme-wise, it actually is a good fit for Tom Brady. And then we've talked about the turnovers with Jameis Winston. If you look at Tom Brady, he's got the second least amount of turnovers in the last 5 years of the quarterback position in football. Just that alone is going to be worth four, five, six more wins for this football team down in Tampa Bay. This is a brilliant move by them, and it's an outstanding move for Tom Brady fit-wise.
Swaggoo, how good are the Bucs this year? You look at a division that has New Orleans. Dan just ran through some of the other better teams in the NFC. Getting out of the AFC is probably a benefit. How good are the Bucs?
They are very good, G, and we've always talked about and lauded about the NFL being a quarterback league. That's why we paid so much attention to this particular free agency, because it was so many quarterbacks on the landscape. But I want to go to something that you guys hear, because as a defensive guy, I want to give you perspective. And we just heard Shaq Barrett talk about, well, now we have an opportunity. That lets you know how much the quarterback spot weighs on the defensive guys' minds heavily. I'm sure a lot of those times when you talk about all of those turnovers that Tampa Bay had, Jameis Winston's throwing interceptions, you coming off the field, you going right back on the field. So you're not performing even at your highest level as good as that defense was. Now they've locked up JPP. Shaq is back. Devin White in the middle of that defense. They are young. They are hungry. And now they have a quarterback where they feel like if they go out and make plays, if they create turnovers, if they flip field position, we got a guy that's going to put us in the end zone and give us a chance to win. This is of crazy magnitude that Tom Brady decided to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm excited about the fact that we get to see him and Drew Brees, the 40-somethings, play each other twice a year.
Yeah, and those would seem to be the two best teams in that division. Quickly, Dan, and we'll have much more time to talk about their side of it. How about his former team, the Patriots? Are they the team to beat in the AFC East this year?
No, that's the Buffalo Bills. It was the Buffalo Bills before this move, Greeny. If we look at the last 2 months of last year's season, the Buffalo Bills had a better record than the Patriots. Their offense was better. Their defense was better. They had a better scoring margin. So the Buffalo Bills were going to be the team to beat in the AFC East before Tom Brady had ever moved on from New England. But they are very much so right now the team to beat.
All right, I have both these guys all morning long, so sit there a minute if you will, fellas. We will have much more on Brady and the rest of a very busy NFL free agent day. But as you are also probably aware, there was enormous news of an entirely different variety yesterday. NBA superstar Kevin Durant is one of four Brooklyn Nets players to have tested positive for the coronavirus. The Nets said that one of the four players is exhibiting symptoms. The other three are asymptomatic. Durant told The Athletic he is feeling fine and urged people to be careful. I want to bring in our NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, on that. Woj, you broke the news about the four Nets players yesterday. What are you hearing about other teams' plans with regards to getting their players tested?
Greeny, you know, some teams, I think, are quietly doing it. Other teams feel as though there's no reason to, that teams are not going to be together. Young players are not at risk to do anything but transmit this disease, and they're not showing symptoms. And if someone is asymptomatic, you know, there are many teams who think that we don't need to get them tested. What we need to do, like everybody in this country, is stay isolated.
And so you've reported the NBA and the league's board of governors held another call yesterday. What is the latest on the league's plans as they look forward from here?
Well, number one, Greeny, the league is going to raise its credit line, to up to $1.2 billion. It gives them a chance to have some more cash flow during this extended period without basketball. And, you know, the league is hunkering down for what is going to be a very long time without the game. There are a lot of discussions internally in the league about trying to come up with timetables and, you know, different scenarios based on the calendar, you know, of drop-dead dates. And the league's not ready to share those. The league's not ready to finalize those. But there's more of a push from teams to know exactly, based on finances, arena, when, how far, and how long they can push this. And another conversation, Greeny, going on among teams is, do we want to even have our facilities open and having players in one-on-one, even working out with coaches? This is going to be a very long stretch for the league without basketball, and more you're seeing teams shut their practice facilities down and, you know, tell their players to just stay isolated like the rest of this country needs to do right now.
All right, Woj, well done. Thank you very much, and we'll certainly come back to you as this continues to develop there in Brooklyn. Meanwhile, we have much more to do on Get Up. We're just getting started. It is a genuinely busy sports day. Teddy Bridgewater in, Cam Newton out in Carolina. Why the Panthers chose to go the way they did, and what is next for Cam? We'll answer that. And then when news came that Tom Brady was done in New England, that did not go over very well in the region. How bummed is Boston? You'll hear that coming up. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And Courtyard by Marriott. Our passion is to help you follow yours. Back to the NFL. It was a very busy day for the Carolina Panthers. The team came to terms with Teddy Bridgewater. 3 years, $63 million. He will replace Cam Newton in Carolina. And the team said they gave Newton permission to seek a trade. Newton said he was forced into that situation. He seemed very upset about the way this was portrayed. And you can see as he posted, stop with the wordplay. I never asked for it. There's no dodging this one. I love the Panthers to death and will always love you guys. Please do not try and play me or manipulate the narrative and act like I wanted this. You forced me into this. Love. Let me bring Adam Schefter back into the conversation because it does appear Cam Newton is going to need a new place to go. What is the latest you're hearing on a trade partner for Cam Newton?
Well, here's the interesting part about this, Greeny, and so many stories will come back to this in the end. Basically, Cam Newton hasn't been healthy. So any team that's going to trade for him is going to want him to take a physical. They're going to want to get their hands on him. The problem is, can't do that in this day and age. You're not allowed to visit with players. Facilities are closed. So who's going to trade for Cam Newton and his $19.1 million salary at times like this when they can't figure out whether or not he's healthy? Plus, you're seeing the starting jobs filled on an almost daily basis. Teddy Bridgewater takes the Panthers job. Phillip Rivers takes the Colts job. Tom Brady is going to take the Buccaneers job. How many other starting quarterback jobs are there out there at this point in time? So there's a shortage of jobs. There's a surplus of quarterbacks. There's restrictions on the travel and what teams can do with the physicals. And it all creates a situation in which as much as Carolina wants to trade Cam Newton, it might in the end be forced to release him because they have no trade partner because of all the situations that are unfolding in this country right now.
Absolutely. Shefty, well done. Thank you. I want to go back to Dan and Marcus on this because I think that's an important point to pick up. Listen, Cam Newton is not that far removed pardon me, for being the MVP of the National Football League. Health, obviously, is the big question. But do you see a place? Shefty is talking about not that many options. Marcus, I'll start with you. Do you see a place where Cam Newton could go next year, be the starting quarterback, and make a difference?
Gee, I just go back to history and what we talked about with the Chicago Bears, possibly. And Matt Nagy, obviously, Mitch Trubisky is a question mark. They want to do things athletically with their quarterback, but this is so difficult to Shefty's point. Thinking about the health, man. Like, listen, there would be no conversation around Cam if he was a healthy quarterback. He would be one of these guys that would be in free agency, and we would be on pins and needles trying to figure out where he was going if it got to that point. Maybe the Redskins. Maybe reconnect with Ron Rivera in Washington. He just brought Thomas Davis back from the L.A. Chargers. That may be a relationship that they can facilitate down in Washington with a young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, and possibly have Cam as a backup. But like you mentioned, $19 million, a quarterback that we don't know if he's healthy, can he stay healthy as well? I think at this point, between Washington and Chicago is where I would tell you, Green.
What do you think, Dan?
Greeny, let me be very clear here. If Cam Newton is healthy and he goes to the Los Angeles Chargers, that is an outstanding match. Because the reality is this, Cam has done and does two things really, really well. One, we know, run the football, and that could become part of Anthony Lynn's offense. And two, throw the football downfield. Now they have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry. They have guys that can go downfield and make big plays down the field. That's something that Cam has done well. So if, and I know that's the big if there, but if he's healthy, Cam can still be very, very good at that position. Now, that being said, that's the great unknown, because three surgeries shoulder in the last couple years, and you're talking about a quarterback that's been banged up. It's almost like the reverse of Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady slowed down the aging process by the way he played and not taking a ton of hits and the way he dieted and lived his life. And Cam Newton kind of expedited the growing process or the aging process because of all the hits he took. And so that's the great caveat here is what our team's going to get with Cam Newton. But if you're going to tell me that they can find a way to get a doctor and looking at Cam Newton and he says, yep, Cam's surgery is fully healed, and that year off last year kind of rejuvenated his body, you can absolutely get really, really good quarterback play out of Cam Newton still.
It, that would make sense, but then Marcus, here's what I keep coming back to, because we talk about the reasonable price tag and everything else. Well, no team has a better sense of where he is than the Carolina Panthers do, understanding that it's a new coaching staff and everything else, but he's there, and for to whatever degree he's been anywhere, he's been there. If he was healthy, I have to believe that he would be staying there, that they would be giving that another shot with him, right? Isn't that an indication that one would look at and say, that's not a good sign?
G, to your point, man, we heard this owner talk about, if Cam is healthy, we'll talk about it. And I tell you guys all the time, when you're sure about your quarterback, you speak surely about your quarterback. And we knew at that point there were some things arising. Obviously, Joe Brady being there. And to me, man, there's a point with Teddy Bridgewater and what I see with Joe Burrow as well and what John Brady, the new offensive coordinator, possibly wants to do. When I saw this Teddy Bridgewater contract and when I saw that they were after him, I was like, look, that's very familiar to what Joe Burrow has the ability to do. Obviously, the connection with them being in New Orleans together as well, but I just never saw Cam coming back to Carolina because people were mum, especially when the owner says what he says. Now, Matt Rhule comes out and he saves face and talks about possibly wanting to coach Cam, but when you have a quarterback in the building for everybody watching and you want that quarterback in the building, you at every stop, every possibility that you have to address the media or address that quarterback or address your team, you reassure them and everybody else that that is your guy. That is not what the owner of the Carolina Panthers did.
All right, Dan, I see you shaking your head at him. I'm going to let you respond in a couple of minutes. I have to take a very short break here, but we will come back and we'll find out what it is that he's saying that Dan so thoroughly disagrees with. As we continue, we have much more to do as we get up with you this morning. It's a question that hasn't been asked in New England for 20 years. Who's the quarterback going to be? Are the Patriots really set with Jarrett Stidham? We have the very latest coming up. So we'll try to answer that question, and we'll try to answer this from Sneaky Hembo. Who was the last quarterback to start a playoff game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Tom Brady will try to be the next. Who was the last? We'll answer that as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and Sneaky Hembo's question, who was the last quarterback to start a playoff game for the Buccaneers? And I'd like to congratulate Crazy77, who was the first one I saw on my Twitter feed, who got the answer right, which is Jeff Garcia, who lost to the Giants in a wild card game in 2007, or the 2007 season. He didn't even take a guess, and yet somehow Dan Orlovsky still managed to get it wrong.
Dark day.
I woke up this morning with a giant smile on my face and it only got smaller and smaller as the day went on.
I don't even want to see him play for another team, but, I mean, I have no choice.
I feel like my wife just called me at 20 years of being happy and said, we're getting a divorce today. That all the great memories we had together are just running through my head. And all the great games, all the fun that he, all the joy he's brought in my life. It's unbelievable. I'm total shocked today.
This will begin the Brady curse. They're not going to win crap, and I hope they don't win anything ever again.
Patriot fans are understandably upset with Tom Brady leaving New England. While they think their football world is over, maybe this will cheer somebody up. Caesars still has them as the favorite to win the AFC East, although once an undisputed favorite, now there's just a slight one over the Bills, who got better this week with the acquisition of Stephon Diggs. Let me bring Mike Reese in from Foxborough, our Patriots reporter. Mike, we just heard from all these fans who were calling into 98.5 the Sports Hub throughout the day yesterday. What has the reaction been from Brady's now former teammates in New England?
Greeny, life after Tom Brady, the morning after, and, you know, just to get a feel for if this was real, I go pick up your Boston Globe this morning, and I wanted to pass it along to you to give you a feel to start off. Going south, Tom Brady with the big picture there, and then trying to put some humor into it, your Boston Herald. Here's the Florida man. Welcome to Tampa. Brady leaving Pats for the Bucks. But, you know, you had asked me about how the teammates are reacting, and I want to give you my sense, you know, and just taking the temperature of them. You know, in one sense, it's hard for them to believe that Tom Brady could be in another uniform. But in another sense, all of them in that locker room have been through business negotiations with the Patriots. And some of the great leaders in this team have had one foot out the door at times and come back, and others have had one foot out the door at times and left. So in that sense, the idea that it could happen to anyone that has played for the Patriots is a thought among those players in the locker room. I wouldn't say they're totally shocked that this is the end result.
And so obviously the Patriots do go on. We just saw Caesar says they're the favorite to win the division, which is remarkable considering there's really no clarity from what I can tell at the quarterback position. Where do they plan to go from here there?
Well, Greeny, they're going to add a third quarterback. They only have two on the roster, but the question is really when. And my understanding of how this is going to go is they're obviously monitoring all opportunities because they're going to add one at some point. And it's just a matter of what becomes available at the right cost. So an example, you know, the Colts, if they're agreeing with Phillip Rivers, what does that mean for their backups, Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer, who have Patriots ties? If one of them maybe comes available, perhaps they could move in that direction. But all that discussion aside, really the focus is on 2019 fourth-round pick Jarrett Stidham, who internally is viewed as a good player who just hasn't had the chance to play. So they'll start there, they'll take a look at him, and they'll probably supplement, whether it's with a veteran or a draft pick. But right now, all eyes on Stidham.
All right, Mike Reese, well done. Obviously, as they continue to make decisions there, we'll continue to come back to you. Thank you very much. I want to go to Ryan Clark. Is RC there? I haven't seen Ryan Clark in a very long time, and it will be a delight to see his face and hear his voice and get his perspective. There he is, the one, the only. Ryan Clark is with us. My man, what was your reaction? Let's start with it this way. When you first saw it come across yesterday, Shefty and Darlington, it's going to be Tampa. What was the first thought that entered your mind?
You know, Greeny, if we weren't in the times that we are in now that I just can't believe, this would be the most unbelievable thing that's happened to me in a decade. When you look at Tom Brady and you think about the New England Patriots, listen, I work with a lady here in Baton Rouge. Her name is Catherine Latour, and I'm going to say her whole name. She's from Foxborough, Mass. She was mad all day. She's sending text messages. I can't believe him. And then I ask her, I say, why are you so upset? She said, I'm 27 years old. He's the only quarterback I've ever known. I feel like I just got a call from my husband and he divorced me. And that's what Tom Brady was to the New England Patriots. And I felt that that marriage would last forever. So now that he's in Tampa Bay and you look at the weapons that this team has, it's an unbelievable move. But for Tom Brady, I think it's a fountain of youth move because he knows he has those weapons outside.
The division is an interesting one. Carolina's sort of in a state of flux. Atlanta, sort of tough to tell. Clearly, New Orleans is the team to beat in that division. Do you right now believe Brady's Bucks are better than the Saints?
I don't. But, and it's not to say that they can't be or won't get there, but this is a new marriage for Tom Brady. This is a new type of relationship. He's never worked with a guy like Bruce Arians. And I worked with Bruce with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was the offensive coordinator there. He's going to show love to his quarterback. Ben was able to do whatever he wanted to do and kind of move around the building as he wants. So Tom Brady will finally get the treatment that he deserves for being a 10 out of 10 quarterback. But they're going to have to develop that chemistry. We know how he likes to, Bruce Arians likes to push the ball down the football field. And the team that they'll be competing against in the New Orleans Saints, they've been doing this together for over a decade. Drew Brees and Sean Payton, this is 15 years of work, 15 years of success. And the last 3 years, you can argue that the New Orleans Saints were the best team in the NFC and just didn't make the plays late in games in the playoffs. And so we can't jump to it right now and say that Tampa Bay is right where they need to be or better than the Saints, but this definitely closed the gap.
It's remarkable when you think about it. Brady and Brees will face off twice next year, assuming they both stay healthy. They're a combined 84 years old. Let me go back to the that's just the reality of it. Let's go back to the AFC East here, and you heard me talking to Mike Reese a minute ago. If you're Bill Belichick right now, what are you thinking of doing at the quarterback position?
Well, I think you're going to look internally and understand that Jarrett Stidham is not ready. It's not Jarrett Stidham's time. And coming into the draft last year, you thought getting him in the mid rounds could be a steal because you would have a future starter. But you don't right now. Cam Newton comes out yesterday and says, you know what? I didn't ask for a trade. You don't do me like that, Carolina. Don't put that narrative out there. But this is a guy, if he's healthy, if you feel like he can quarterback, I think he works in New England. And here's why. Week to week, New England changes as an offense, whether they want to be a run-first offense, if they're an offense that's going to check the ball out of the backfield with their backs, or if they're going to use wide receivers outside. So they can definitely, with Josh McDaniels and all that they have, morph into a team that can work with Cam Newton at the quarterback. We also know that the Indianapolis Colts now have a new quarterback in Phillip Rivers. What does that mean for Jacoby Brissett, who was once the starter in New England when Tom Brady was out and Jimmy Garoppolo goes down? And so there's so many different things that they could do, but they have to get a veteran. They have to get a veteran that can win. And he's, and Bill Belichick is going to try to bring back some of that positive energy that he had from the past, going 11-5 with Matt Castle as the starting quarterback after losing Brady in the first game against the Kansas City Chiefs years ago.
RC, you stay safe, my man. All right. And I will see you soon. It's great to talk to you again. Thank
you
very much.
You do the same.
Meantime,
yes,
I want to go to Tampa, and let's bring in our reporter, Jenna Lane, who covers the Bucs for us at ESPN. And obviously, this is the biggest day they've had in a very long time. Jenna, what has been the reaction to this enormous news inside the Buccaneers organization?
Yeah, there's just been a ton of shock and disbelief. I know some people, including head coach Bruce Arians, are refraining from reacting until pen officially hits paper, but he's keeping his fingers crossed. That's when I reached out to him last night. That's what he told me. But you also have guys like Jason Pierre-Paul. He couldn't contain his excitement. You would have thought he was a kid on Christmas morning. On the other side of things, though, a guy like Mike Evans, who will tell you emphatically that Jameis Winston is his best friend, he's not going to be comfortable celebrating until he knows where he ends up in all this.
Yeah, and where Jameis ends up, which obviously is a huge piece in all of this. There's going to be a lot of talk about fit, because we've seen Jameis and a lot of other quarterbacks that have played for Bruce Arians in the past with 5-step drops, 7-step drops, waiting a long time in the pocket, letting routes develop. That doesn't feel like what Tom Brady does. What do we make of the Brady fit in what Bruce Arians does offensively?
That's a great question. I've been asked that a lot, because everybody knows Bruce Arians' motto is no risk it, no biscuit. He loves for his quarterbacks to take chances downfield. But at the same time, and this is something that Blaine Gabbert told me, Arians also tells us quarterbacks, you can't go broke by putting more money in the bank. And what he means by that is, any play that is a positive play, any type of completion, is seen as a good thing. He wants his quarterbacks to make good decisions. And as his track record has shown, Brady has a knack for being able to make really, really good decisions. And I'll also say this, with Brady's level of experience and Arians' open-mindedness, even though he's somewhat of an old-school coach, he also has a lot of new-age ways of thinking, and he is more than willing to collaborate with Brady. And not just him, but his entire staff, Byron Leftwich, Clyde Christensen, Tom Moore, they all are more than willing to collaborate with him so that Brady can put his best foot forward and utilize the plays that he is most comfortable using.
That seems to have been an important piece of this for Brady as he was making his decision. Jenna, thank you very much. I'm fascinated by all of Bruce Arians' expressions, by the way, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of those if the Buccaneers have a good year. Jenna, thank you. Meanwhile, as we continue, can Brady lead the Bucs to the Super Bowl? Can Philip Rivers do the same with the Colts? Marcus and Dan know, and they'll tell you next. Get Up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Tom Brady said he was leaving New England. What do the Bucs have right now for Tom Brady? They've got weapons.
Brady fires a fastball.
My goodness, what a catch by Mike Evans.
Brady takes the snap.
Brady lobs a throw.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Godwin's got it. Fire the cannon.
Take a look at these numbers. I mean, during his 20 years in New England, not only did Tom Brady set every franchise quarterbacking record, but look at the margin. 45,000 more passing yards than Bledsoe, 175 more wins, 300 more touchdowns than the next closest quarterback. So it is safe to say his records in New England are going to stand a very long time. And we are very pleased to bring in Benjamin Watson, who played with Tom Brady for 7 years in New England, is going to provide some perspective for us here. Benjamin, thank you so much for doing this morning. And I guess I would just ask you the first question this way. When you first heard the news yesterday that he was leaving, what was the first thought that went through your mind?
Honestly, it was happiness for him, because I know this was a very difficult decision for him. Look, anytime you're somewhere for 20 years, much less putting your heart and soul into playing football, leading a franchise, being the face of that franchise, plugging in your family to a certain community, and then having to be uprooted and moved from that, is a very difficult decision. And I know that he loves this area. He loves the fans here, as he said in his farewell letter. But I was happy for him because I know that this is something that he wanted. It was something that he wanted to have a chance at, to have a chance at free agency, to see what was out there, and to possibly see himself moving somewhere else to another franchise. And this is going to be a great opportunity for him. As you mentioned before, he's got some great weapons down there offensively. He's got a city that is hungry for winning. He's got a city that's going to host a Super Bowl in a few months here. So there are a lot of positives for him going there. But I was just happy that he's been able to make the decision and now he can move forward.
You say it's something that you know he wanted. Why did he want it?
I don't know specifically why, but I do know that as an athlete, he never had a chance to be a free agent. I'm not saying that he knew he was going to leave or knew he wasn't going to leave. I wasn't in those conversations, but I can say that he was going to do what was best for his family and best for himself at this point in time. Again, 20 years poured into a franchise, one that he has great respect for, one that he loved to play for. Nothing changes that from here on out. The guy's had two Hall of Fame careers while he's been in a Patriot jersey. I think this was more about Tom. This was more about, what he wanted at that moment in time, what was the best fit for him, where he is right now in his career and also in his life.
Yeah, and obviously you played with him. You've played for Bill Belichick. Those are both guys at the very top of the list of the greatest of all time. What did you observe in their relationship? There's been so much speculation about that. What did you see there?
Look, every relationship is different. Every relationship has different facets to it. There are parts of relationships that we see and parts that we don't see. Obviously, we know Coach Belichick when he gets on the podium. We see his demeanor there. There's another side of him that a lot of people don't see, a side of him that is jovial, that makes jokes, all those things that you'd be really surprised about him. Their relationship was one that was probably the deepest in the building because they've been together for the longest and gone through so much together. But with that being said, sometimes relationships run their course, and it doesn't mean that this relationship is over. It just means that from a business standpoint, they're not going to be working together at the same time. I'm sure at some point they'll both come out and maybe talk about some of the ups and downs that any relationship has. But what I did observe from them, which was your initial question, was a dedication to the business, a dedication to getting better. I believe that they sharpened each other. I believe that we wouldn't have seen the dynasty that we've seen without them both together at this specific time in these specific two decades. And that collision of both of their drive, both of their preparation, all those things came together to formulate what we know as the Patriots dynasty.
Interestingly, you have played in the last two seasons with Brady and with Drew Brees, who will now play in the same division and are both over 40. What have you seen in the two of them that gives you a sense of why they still have so much left? They're both going places that no quarterback has ever gone before at their age. What have you seen in those two guys regarding what they have left?
Well, I know one thing. Those ticket sales are going to be sky high for those two games. You got two all-time great quarterbacks coming together. From them, again, you know, words that you've heard already a bunch of different times, but just the competition. And it doesn't just go to the games. Those things start in practice. Not wanting to lose a two-minute drill. Not wanting to lose a 7-on-7 against the defense. Being in the meeting room and being able to tell a tight end, hey, I want your route run this way. Do it better this time. But also, I think a key component to both of them is the way that they encourage other guys. When you're on the field with them, you feel like you're the best player you could be. Honestly, you feel like, you know, you're a guy who can do any and everything that they desire and that they want you to do to help the team win. They exude that type of confidence, but they also encourage individual players in the way they need to be encouraged. That's the mark of a good leader, and that's what both of these men are.
Benjamin Watson, this was a delight. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes. You stay safe. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Meanwhile, let's turn our attention to another aging quarterback who has found a new home, and that is Philip Rivers, the former Charger, has an agreement with the Indianapolis Colts. It's 1 year. It's $25 million. He will presumably replace Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback in Indianapolis, and he has quietly put up huge numbers since coming into the league in 2004. I think most people know that, but they don't really. The problem is that, of course, it has not come with the ultimate success. He has the most wins, the most passing touchdowns, and the most yards of any quarterback in history to have never started in a Super Bowl. Only three Colts quarterbacks, meanwhile, have taken that franchise to a Super Bowl. Earl Morrall, Johnny Unitas, and Peyton Manning. Will Philip Rivers be the next? Is he even an improvement over what they had? And I want to bring in my guys on that question. And Dan Orlovsky, I'll start with you, because a lot of people have asked me this. Is Philip Rivers an improvement right now over Jacoby Brissett?
Greeny, he's not. More accomplished? Yes. An improvement? No. The reality is this. Jacoby Brissett last year, through the first 8 weeks of the season, was 5-2 for the Colts. He had 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and he had just gone on the road and beaten the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes before that injury derailed his and the Colts season. So yes, I get the fit for Philip Rivers, the fact that they can protect him offensive line-wise. 2018, Andrew Luck was the least sacked quarterback in football, and last year this is a top three offensive line in Indy. So that is the fit for Philip Rivers, and protecting him is there. But I don't know, for $25 million and to totally pass on Jacoby Brissett after what he had shown you when he was healthy last year, I don't think that this is an upgrade for the Indianapolis Colts at the quarterback position.
What do you think, Swaggo?
Well, when you think about 2 years ago, we're not far removed from Philip Rivers having a really good season in L.A. and the Chargers being a contender. And I remember Rex Ryan believing that the Chargers possibly would have made it to the Super Bowl. So that has to be what Indianapolis was thinking. And to Dan's point, now that you have one of the best offensive linemen, lines in the league, Mac in the backfield, they probably feel like around Philip Rivers, they have the ability to do things to keep him in his wheelhouse. That's the only thing I could think of. I'm with Dan. I thought Jacoby Brissett was playing well before that injury. You have a young quarterback that you can continue to mature, but we know in this league it's win now, and I'm sure Frank Wright and obviously that relationship gave them enough courage to bring Philip Rivers on, and hopefully they can manufacture some of those great years that he had, because like I mentioned before, we're only 2 years removed from Philip Rivers having a great year. Now, last year, he threw the ball to the other team a lot, as we want to lay on quarterbacks that threw a lot of interceptions. So I'll be interested to see what transpires there, but if Jacoby Brissett was thinking that I'm not their guy, this only solidifies that to him, I think, now.
Hey, Dan, so let me ask you about the landscape of the AFC. We have Kansas City, the defending champ. We have Baltimore, obviously, great last year and got better. Where do the Colts then slot in amongst the best teams in the conference?
Yeah, this doesn't put them up there, Greeny. I mean, you mentioned Kansas City and Baltimore. I'm putting the Buffalo Bills up there. The Buffalo Bills are going to be a really good football team. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be the team that we thought they were last year. Tennessee still in the AFC South. My guess is the AFC South comes down to Tennessee and now Indianapolis, because Indianapolis is a good football team. But I mentioned this early on. There's still some pieces on this team that are needed. It's T.Y. Hilton and then Pascal. They don't have a tight end right now with Eric Ebron out. Jack Doyle is a good player, but not a premier number one tight end. So this doesn't vault them to the top. They traded away their first round pick for DeForest Buckner. So there's still at least four or five teams that I place in head of Indianapolis sitting here today.
Yeah, to me, this was another one of those moves that, despite the fact everyone said it was coming, I found it a little surprising when they actually did it. Guys, stay with me. We have another hour to bring you here of football conversation and much more on Get Up. And, of course, the huge news is Tom Brady. One of our experts says, if you think the Bucs are a lock to win the South, you need to think again. You'll hear that coming up. Get Up on ESPN.